Well, it's day two of the Bushcraft Show, and myself and David, who pretty much brought all the kit because I was just literally flying in the door and back out the door from a trip to Norway, and got a backpack together and pretty much, as ever, trusted in David to get the camp stuff sorted. Every time we go out, there's something different, whether we're in a canoe, whether we're in bivvies, whether we're in hammocks. But on this particular trip, I guess, ironically, in a way, at the Bushcraft Show, which is all about survival and living with nature. And Lofty's Wiseman yesterday mentioned protection, location, acquisition, navigation, all the things needed to survive are talked here. And enjoying the wilds when you're out and about. So there's tracking going on and animal, plant, and mushroom recognition and building of shelters and all kinds of campcraft, really interesting stuff. Last night we slept in a lavu, like a teepee style tent, but with a single pole. Nordic in its origins, this particular one, or they exist all over Scandinavia, and it had a twin skin, so inner sheet and the outer sheet, and it was so cosy. We had a little bit of a fire going in the middle, which momentarily, before opening the top vent, had the danger of suffocating us. But when the top vent was open in the very top of the tent, we created a bit of draw, the smoke left, and we were just left with a very cosy night indeed. And I can't actually remember having such a comfortable night in a tent. On top of that, I don't know whether it's because he's getting old. We used to sleep in holes in the ground filled with leaves. I'm not joking. But Dave had a couple of camp beds with, I think, the thickest thermarests you can buy. So we were well insulated in our down bags. And I think I woke up being a little bit too cosy. And that was it for the whole night. So very, very enjoyable camping experience. It's drizzling a little bit this morning, very, very light, but we've managed to pack up our kit and get straight back into the show. I wanted to meet and chat with some of the tradespeople here. There's some really interesting and innovative people making and creating stuff for the outdoors, because this kind of scene is constantly evolving. And, you know, one year you'll see a hammock, then you'll see a hammock with a roof, then you'll see a hammock with a bottom entrance into that hammock, and the way you sleep in it means that you're horizontal rather than curved like a banana, and so on and so forth. So there's all kinds of interesting development. Bushcraft and the scene is surprisingly geeky. It is really quite geeky. A lot of these people are well into their kit, hence the reason why I started Bush Tech in a way, I guess, because although a lot of people would like to be able to survive as one with nature as such, they're more than happy to utilize technology as well. And having had a really interesting chat with Lofty Wiseman yesterday, you use what is around you most of the time when it comes to survival. There are some of the purists when it comes to bushcraft, the people that want to, you know, whittle a cup from a tree and would rather not use the plastic if they can, and you'll see them jangling along with some rather sometimes expensive Scandinavian carved cups hanging off their belt. There's a all-terrain bike going past, a quad. And there's definitely a lot of shopping that's going on. I mean, if I thought that I had a bag fetish when it comes to bags for carrying around tech, nothing like some of the people here. Dave himself has bought two bags while I've been here. They both look identical-ish to me, other than one goes over the shoulder, one sits on a belt. And, a lot of exciting stuff that I've really, really tried to resist. I couldn't help but visit Alpkit, because they do have some really interesting kit, and I bought myself a pretty astonishing head torch, considering what it does. Had a rear light as well, so I think quite good for cycling. All kinds of adjustments, quite high lumens, and it was a tenner. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing if Alpkit, when they have their UK factory, can still produce stuff at this kind of value and cost. We'll see. I'm going to pause this for a moment, and if I come across someone that wants to chat, I'll continue. Speaking of innovation and some of the kind of technological advancements in what would appear to be normal bits of kit, yesterday I came across you, sir. What's your name?
Mike Smith.
Mike Smith, and you've got an interesting kind of basher system here. Can you explain what it does?
Yeah, it's like a normal basher. It's 3 by 2 meters, made of 4 ounce PE coated nylon. All I've done is incorporated a rain collection device, i.e. a gutter on either side. It's braced with one inch wide webbing strips to reinforce the guttering and give it some more structure. There's brass eyelets along each edge, and I've also incorporated the webbing along the ridge so it gives a stiff or rigidity to it when you erect it from trees or structure.
Now, to me, it looks like big enough for two people to sleep quite comfortably under it, and there is a gutter at either side which has kind of a almost like a mesh leaf filter over the top. How do you go about collecting the drinking water from this shelter?
It's simply a bladder at the centre on each side, and to extract the water you just use gravity. It's gravity fed, so you just put the bladder downwards facing the ground into your receptacle, and then the off position is simply swing it above the bungee, and that's it.
Really, really innovative and quite simple in it as well. What probably won't come across, if people go to the website at cactush2o.co.uk, and that's cactus with K-A-K-T-U-S, it's the materials you've used to construct it. This is seriously, seriously heavy duty. That you could probably live under this.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's probably feels good quality because it's all my materials are made and sourced in Great Britain, and it's also made in Great Britain, which I'm very proud of. So, yeah, you're going to get good materials and good workmanship.
So whereabouts did you find a manufacturing plant that could do stuff like this still in the UK?
It's Duncan of Northridge Adventure. I met him at the London XL in February. He said he might have a contact for me. So, 2 weeks later, he gave me the phone number, details. And, happy days ever since.
Excellent stuff. So, a lot of the stuff that you produce is around water collection, and you've got a really interesting kind of all-in-one survival pack whereby you can collect water by all kinds of different means, and it's really portable. And I think that if I was ever doing any kind of overland trip where water is going to be hard to come by, this is an absolute must. Why is it so important for you that to concentrate on the H2O side of things?
Because humans would die without it. Our bodies are made up of 8% water, so obviously it's essential. You can go 3 weeks without water. You can't go more than 3 days without water.
You 3 weeks without food, you mean?
That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. And Lofty Wiseman was talking yesterday very eloquently and very humorously about all of this, and talking about this, the 3 days without water is pretty much if you don't move.
Absolutely, yeah. So I thought I'd develop a water collection system. It's not a filtration system, it's just catchment of rainwater.
Fantastic, which luckily in this country we have plenty of.
Absolutely.
But even this poncho system, you know, sometimes if I am going out and about, the ideal campground might not necessarily be as ideally close to a water supply as I want. So I'd be interested to see if I could utilise something like this and not have to do the trek with the container. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome, thank you.
I've just accosted this young lady, literally tore her out from her basketry stroke weaving class. Who are you?
I'm Hen 4 off Twitter.
Hen 4, H-E-N and the number 4.
That's right.
You've done lots of interesting stuff, not just here, but before here, haven't you?
I have, loads and loads. Well, I think it's interesting.
Tell us how you have been using Twitter to campaign in the past.
Yeah. Karen Wild and I, Karen's wildly creative on Twitter, we started saveourwoods.co.uk, and that was back in January when the government were through the back door trying to pass a law that would enable them to sell all publicly owned forests, Well, we beat them. We won. That was fantastic. Although we're actually still fighting. We're still working as hard as we were before because they're just trying another way of getting it through. So we really need everyone to pull together just for this one last push and join us again for trying to protect the forest, have them looked after the way we want them, increased access, better biodiversity. Well, everybody wants that, surely.
It sounds something that has to totally be done, and a lot of people need to pay attention to the website.
Oh yes, saveourwoods.co.uk.
And I remember this cropping up initially in January. I remember retweeting like mad and seeing it just explode across the web, thinking that
it went wild. Yeah.
Yeah, this was so important that it had to be done. And we're in ignore the sound of the generator in the background powering what looks like some kind of
a forge.
So we forgive them. They're doing some interesting stuff. You're doing some really interesting stuff, and we are in a beautifully wooded area. I can see trees pretty much everywhere. And it's a gorgeous spot. Tell us a little bit about your class that you're doing.
I'm teaching basketry, and they're being very patient with me, actually. They're waiting with their...
Yeah, everybody and still has their eyes, and they're all doing a wonderful job.
They do still have their eyes. It's a miracle.
I'm going to let you get back to it
say
enjoy the Bushcraft Show. And it's wonderful to see so much action and so many people passionate about these old crafts and skills.
Well, keep your eye out for Woodlife. If you go onto the Woodlife website, we're all on there. We do all sorts of things, basketry, weaving, forging, green woodwork, trails. And it's going to be big.
Good stuff. We will keep an eye out for it, and we'll no doubt see it through your Twitter name, Hen4 on Twitter.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Cheers.
And he's just drawn it out, a rough circle and a rough shape that we want to work towards again, so that you don't forget actually what a spring starts to look like. We are hungry.
People making bows. People carving cutlery. There's human-powered lathes. There's a forge. All kinds of really interesting ancient and old crafts and skills being utilised, taught, trained, demonstrated. So the educational side of the Bushcraft Show I found really interesting. And the sun is now come out for the final afternoon. A lot of the stores, funnily enough, seem to have started packing up because they've sold out. I don't think they anticipated exactly how many people were going to be here and quite passionate about expanding their bushcraft gear and camping and outdoors. I've even purchased a camp bed, believe it or not, which is not very bushcrafty at all. But after last night's sleep, I just saw an ex-military camp bed for £20 and... And I've seen how much Dave paid for his. He's even bought another one because he thought £20. And these are even better. They're lighter and they've got an amazing little strut. Lots of kids wandering around, really enjoying themselves, which is quite surprising when you think about how many knives and axes are hanging from the belts of people and saws. Really strange and wonderful environment. Obviously, health and safety still... pretty evident on people's minds. There are like wooden barriers stopping you getting too close to the forge and things like that, so everybody taking care. And I imagine the only kind of injuries sustained at this place probably come from people maybe having a hangover from last night's partying and possibly even a bit of sunstroke after the sun that has happened. So wonderful time. We'll soon be wrapping up and heading home, but I'm definitely going to make the Bushcraft Show a regular feature in my calendar, and this being the first one, I think has really amazed everybody that the community can kind of come together at what, I don't know how much short notice it has been, but they seem to have pulled this together, and everybody on both sides of the organisational fence seems to have enjoyed themselves. Good stuff. If you're into the outdoors or bushcraft in any way, there's forums and websites. You just have to take a look at the Bushcraft Show or Bushcraft Magazine Twitter feed. They're very easy to find. I've got a list on my Twitter account of bushcraft people involved and connections, give it a go. I know that I'm going to be doing more, definitely, especially now the summer's here. Last time I slept out before tonight, it was, I don't know, minus a lot. I thought I was going to die when woke with snow around, sleeping under a very, very thin piece of canvas, like nylon, in fact, on the floor. Yeah, everything is luxurious now when it gets to this time of year. I was going to wrap it up there, but I've just bumped into Simon Eller of Bushcraft Magazine. You are the man behind this, aren't you? One of the people.
Indeed, yes. We've been asked for 5 years to do a show. We've been asked for 4 years to do a show in the north of England. So we gave it some time, and then basically we've gone ahead and here we are.
Is that your way of saying this is probably a little bit overdue?
Well, there's a lot of people keen to do things in the north of England, so yeah, indeed.
And some people are calling this the Wilderness Gathering of the North. Are you happy with that? Because Wilderness Gathering, I've never actually been there, to be honest. A lot of people talking about, you know, how good that is for kind of outdoor craft skills and all the rest of it. And then I couldn't imagine anything beating this location, though.
Basically, this is the Bushcraft Show. It's unique, it's different. We chose this location specifically because of the facilities it has. We've got a lot of opportunities here. We've got high ropes courses. We've got a mile and a half's coastline access to the lake. So obviously we can have a lot of canoeing and things going on, open canoe training sessions, paddle making. We've got access to the full facilities, so we've got proper kitchen and dining hall facilities. We've got shower rooms and drying rooms, toilets, obviously. So yeah.
I miss the shower rooms.
I mean, it's basically in terms of location, it is picturesque. It's the ideal spot. 450 acres of woodland that we can utilise to camp in on the shore of the lake. Weather's been beautiful for the weekend. It's ideal.
Really, really lucky. So, what did you set out to achieve? And do you think you've accomplished that?
I think we've accomplished it. Basically, we just wanted to create an event whereby people could come along, they could do lots of varied activities and obviously gain enjoyment through that. We wanted to make it so that there was something for people with an interest in bushcraft who are perhaps quite well versed in the subject, so that there's sort of more taxing things, more specific things there, but also so that there's a range of other activities that perhaps day visitors or people just getting into bushcraft, people that are sort of families that enjoy the outdoors, can come along, have a try of different things, get a taste of things.
Yeah, definitely been all walks of life here. I've seen the hardcore and I've seen pushchairs pushing around the future hardcore.
Indeed, yes. And that's really why we chose the activities we did. There's everything from archery, have a go at shooting. We've got the open canoe inside, which we've already mentioned. In terms of bushcraft, everything from wild foods to fire lighting. We've got star lore, we've got early morning tracking sessions, activities for the kids galore. So
I guess the Bushcraft Show website may, after today, possibly lie a little bit dormant until the preparations for next year. Where do people go to continue the conversation?
No, very much go to the website. We've had a media company here filming for 2 days, so within the next week they'll be editing all the footage. We've got various films being produced, so they'll be online. There'll be feedback from the show, there'll be comments and feedback from the exhibitors. We've got a blog on there, so people can chat about things on the blog.
Right.
Any thoughts, any desires for future years can be conveyed on there. We'll take that into account. Really, it's the first show, it's the first year. We feel, and the event management company, and the feedback from visitors, from stallholders, is that it's been very good. It's been a great event. And we've got a page of ideas of things that we'd have liked to get here this year, but haven't perhaps. So yeah, no, next year, look out. Watch this space. Yeah.
Excellent, good stuff. So the Bushcraft Magazine, I imagine, will also be featuring some of the content, images, and pictures and stories from here.
certainly. We're too soon for the next issue. That goes to print on Tuesday, so literally as we close the doors here, that's away. But the following issue we'll have a show review, and we'll have some comments and some images and a bit of a feel for those that perhaps didn't make it. Some happy memories for those that did.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you very much. I've known you for a few years. How long has Bushcraft magazine been going?
More than, I think we first spoke 5 years ago now.
Gordon Bennett! Whoa! Indeed. Living in the woods, time flies.
An interview in a teepee it was.
That's crazy, isn't it? Wow, and things have definitely come on, and I think this having your own show of this magnitude, phenomenal. Well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you. No, great.